Patrick Racy here with the Canopy Group Facts. The Canopy Group writes more new business in 1 month than a captive agent writes in 3 years. How's that possible? We'll share some other facts to make you understand. Fact two, the Canopy Group offers 16 different insurance companies, not just one. Fact three, the Canopy Group offers annual policies, not six-month policies, that leave you at risk for two premium increases per year. Fact four, the Canopy Group offers one deductible at claim time, not two, three, four, even more. Fact five, the Canopy Group will shop your home and auto insurance with their 16 companies every year. Captive insurance agencies can't do that because they only have one company. Now that you have the facts, it's time to get options. Call 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com.
Oh, it's fun. Crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
Patrick Royce, what's going on with you today?
I'm watching this Twins-Red Sox game. Mm-hmm. And having the Twins burst out to a 4-0 lead and then have a chance to add on and not, and they're still leading here as we speak, 1-0 in the seventh, reminded me of my youth, however, when you'd go into Fenway with the Twins, and no matter what the lead was,
you knew
that by the eighth inning, you could have been ahead 9-1, and by the eighth inning, the Twins fans would be on the edge of their seats wondering if these guys could hold the lead against the lineup that the Red Sox put on the field back then. Now, it isn't the same, but they're still pretty good. But kicking away games in Fenway is not a new experience for the Twins. I was trying to look at which were their best teams back then.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, 77, Carlton Fisk was the catcher. He drove in 102. George Scott was the first baseman.
Boomer.
He drove in 95. He was 33 then. Denny Doyle was the slap-hitting second baseman who ended up having a great World Series. He had a great World Series in 76. Burleson was the shortstop. Oftentimes, Butch Hobson would hit ninth for that. We didn't know. They would hit eighth because we had a DH.
Yeah.
Would hit eighth. He had 112 RBIs. And he'd hit at the bottom of that order. And then the outfield, Yaz was still playing the outfield then. Yaz, Lynn, and Rice. Rice was the DH. By then, Rice was the DH.
Dewey was in right.
And Dewey and Bernie Carbo. Evans kind of was, came up a little later than, came up a little early. He must have been hurt that year because he only played 73 games.
So Rice DH'd?
Rice had the most efforts at DH, yes,
okay.
I haven't looked at the state, but they got Bernie Carbo listed as the right fielder, but that obviously wasn't the case. It was Dwight Evans when they were good. But I remember the Twins going in there in 77 with that team, and they had some guys that could hit the wall, Bostock and Carew, and I think it was a doubleheader,
mm-hmm.
starting at 5 in the afternoon.
Oh, Twinites, yeah.
And it was... They got 20 in one game and 11 in the other, the Twins. And, we were probably out of there at 11. probably done playing at 11.
505?
But I have to find the game. But in 77, doubleheader, 31 runs in a doubleheader against the Red Sox. There were some boos being heard in Fenway. And that was... They were mad at, by then they were mad at Zimmer, I think. Maybe not. Maybe it was, I don't know what year it was. One of my favorite moments, though, is the Twins came in. The Twins were on the road. It could have been before Patriots Day because the Red Sox had a night game that day. The Twins had been on the road. They came in on Sunday night mm-hmm. And the Red Sox were still playing a Monday night game.
Mm-hmm.
And Zim was in the doghouse with the Red Sox fans, and they were booing the hell out of him. It might have been 78, I don't know. But Mock and Zim were big buddies from being in the Dodger system together, right? They were big friends.
Sure.
So Mock and I went to the game with Mock, right? And went up to the press box, and he got Zim on the – dugout phone like 6-7 minutes before the first pitch, right? Mm-hmm. And he said something about, I just kind of overheard this. But the conversation was him saying to Zim, says something like, "You want to see something, Gene?" And he stepped out of the dugout and they booed. It was like, and Mock laughed like hell. He's up there having a cigarette. And then Mock says, "Do that again, Zim." And he steps back out. Boo. It was great. It was great. I don't think we stayed for the whole tilt. We went out for dinner and had a few cocktails. But it was, yeah, that was something going in there to see that team, the way they hit. Well, Lynn and Rice show up together in 75, right? 75.
Yeah, 75.
Never been a twosome like that show up with a baseball team in Major League history.
Yeah, Lynn was MVP and Rookie of the Year, right?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. And Rice always had this reputation as this glowering jerk.
Yes.
Lynn, worse, by far condescending as could be.
Really?
Yeah, because Yaz learned from Ted.
Yes.
To be a jerk.
Yep.
And Yaz taught those two guys to be a jerk. But you could see also the reason for it, that Red Sox clubhouse is the size of this room, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Home clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
More media when they were good. More media, because there was 8 dailies. You know, Boston, greater Boston is very small. Boston itself is very small. But all these suburbs, Boston, greater Boston, has like 6 dailies, Quincy, Somerset. They all had their own dailies. They all traveled with the Red Sox. They all were in the clubhouse after games. Yeah. They all had
They all traveled.
They all traveled with them.
Wow.
And it was an absolute cluster in there. And the manager's office, honest to God, not as big as where Declan's sitting here in the studio, not that big. And there'd be 25 people in there trying to get quotes. Couple radio guys. You didn't have the TV cameras then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd have the radio guys in there from every radio station in town had a sports reporter. And they were in there. And everybody, and somebody come out, it'd be like the, you know, the kind of a one of those Monty Python skit, you know, everybody moving like that in unison.
It was
an amazing mob of people, which put everyone in a bad mood. And then they were impossible to get along with. The other thing I always remember is they used to take a weird thing. Their batting practice, they took in 5-minute hunks. In other words, they didn't do the hopping out of Rice would come in, he'd hit for 5 minutes, then he'd be done. Lynn had hit for 5 minutes. Yaz had hit for 5 minutes. Some of them didn't want to hit for Fisk, had hit for 5 minutes.
Right.
Some of them didn't want to hit for the full 5. But I remember the Twins before 77, they got Heisel and they hit a few home runs. But the Twins in the first couple years I was there, very little power, you know, and you'd go watch Twins batting practice and it'd go on for like 45 minutes and they'd hit 4 home runs and then you'd go watch these guys and they'd hit 80, you know, Rice had hit 20 in a session. You know?
Right.
It looked like a home run derby and you'd say, "How the hell are they ever going to win a game here?"
Right.
You know,
oh.
But the bullpen could never get them out in a 8th, 9th innings, you were hanging on for dear life all the time in the late innings in Fenway. It was amazing, to say the least. Maybe this is the solution for baseball, though, Judd. 10 a.m. games. What do you think?
10 a.m. Patriot Day games? They'll be done by 1 o'clock.
I love Roy Smalley, right?
Yeah.
I think he's good.
Yeah.
But he's BSN, you know, he's been BSN. And did you fellas watch the game last night? Declan, did you watch the game?
No, but I'm very excited where this is going.
Too many day games.
Oh.
Did you hear that? Yeah. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Too many day games.
I only just speak ill of our friend Roy.
Too many day games. That was somebody just homered. So here we go. Off Duran, by the way.
Who's, solo who solo we, shot?
Yeah, off Duran. But, you know, that 102, it's fun to have, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get him out. But, yeah, it was too many day games. Not that, boy, these guys aren't hitting worth a bleep.
This know? Is why our friend Gladdy on the radio yes. is the best. Yes. When Sano butchered that ball, that line drive, Gladdy, he can't hide his absolute yeah. disgust. Gladdy's, you know.
When did they change that to an error?
I don't even
it
know.
It was originally yeah. called a hit.
I was glad they called it an hit.
Yeah, somebody must have got to him in between innings. And
but CCO, they're, you know, Corey and Gladdy.
Yeah, Corey and Gladdy Chris, are fine.
They all do a very good job of telling you exactly why this team's not good.
Yes, instead of having to cover it up, you know. Mm-hmm. It's, but that was...
too many days.
Now, I will say I did enjoy Roy because there was a several moments during the game where a pitch would be thrown, and we didn't get 15 seconds of analysis. We just got a little quiet. Unlike Morney, who cannot let a pitch pass by without babbling and telling us nothing. Don't speak unless you have something to tell us, Morney. Somebody tell him that. Somebody's got to get an electric shock and go,
a dog with a dog fence thing?
Yeah, no, we don't need you to say nothing. Stop saying nothing. Say something, even if it's too many day games. Even if it's going to be some phony excuse for the fact you're hitting like complete morons. is that another home run?
No, that ball is gone.
Long foul.
Okay. Anyway, that's my observation.
New executive producer for BSN, Patrick Royce.
Yes.
Hey, Morney, come here.
Actually, I know a friend who works there, Pat, who is very high up. I believe one of their EVPs now, and I should pass that along.
Well, I hope you tell him, Doug.
Well, somebody very close to Morney and the Twins asked me last year what I thought, and I said I thought he was pretty good mm-hmm. when he started.
I agree with
but
that.
But he won't shut up. He thinks that he can't take – he thinks if there's silence, he's not doing his job. So even when he has nothing to say, he starts talking and then leads to nowhere. And then he realizes he hasn't made his point. So then it leads to more nowhere. And pretty soon the next pitch is being thrown. And we've now had 30 seconds of nothingness is the problem. And I know people love him. Nice guy. I think he's – a hell of a guy, but he is, you know, he just, I mean, I got to admit, an inning, two, then I turn it down, then I turn it off.
Give me Gladdy in the television
booth. Oh, yes, yeah, right.
To express his disgust.
Once in a while, Gladdy tells us, forgets to tell us where the ball went.
I don't care about that. I don't either.
Yeah, that's okay.
Gladdy should be on TV.
Unvarnished Gladdy, which
Gladdy
is,
should be
these guys suck.
Glad he should be on TV, yep. Don't you think?
Sean Aaronson gave me the best line when I was calling baseball games with him 9-10 years ago, Pat, when I was interning yeah. with the St. Paul Saints.
Yes.
He said, no matter what you say, they will believe you. You are your eyes and ears. You could lie to their face about that yes. double play ball, and they are relying on you.
Yes. Yeah, that's pretty good. They, but it's, I that one... Roy, Roy's my favorite analyst and on TV, and that disappointed me greatly that we decided that we had to explain.
As you said, BSN.
We had to explain why they stunk as hitters and why the team batting average was 187.
Yeah.
So what is it in night games? They've only played a couple, but what is it night games then?
Too many day games. That's great. Can you explain to me why Sano gets a free pass to play every single day?
I think they have no option, and they're waiting to hope he gets a hit. They're waiting.
I think he's a two as we record.
I mean,
this.
Sitting him on the bench is going to do you no good. That'll never get him a hit.
I know.
And
but
you don't have, now that Kirilov's hurt, well, you got no option either. So, I mean, I don't want.
Can Arise play first base?
Well, I don't know.
He certainly can't play third, so yeah. Perhaps he can play first.
It does make me nuts when he decides to have Ryan Jeffers be his DH instead of Arise.
yeah. today. What? Ryan,
I don't know.
You're catching Sanchez because Ryan Jeffers can't hit, okay? And then you have him DH'ing. I don't know what that's about.
I know. That's what I don't understand some of the decisions.
Yeah. But, you know, Sano is, he's not alone with this collection.
No.
They can't, none of them can hit. By the way, Larnach got hit in the wrist in the dugout today.
On a Sano line drive.
Hardest he's hit the ball into his own dugout.
Well, and Kepler's a lost cause right now. Max Kepler was flat out not that good.
I wonder what happened to him.
I don't know.
The trouble is nobody's going to break it down for you because they don't want to. They don't want to tell you. But he hit 30 some home runs.
Yep.
In 2019 and knocked in what? Damn near 100, right?
Mm-hmm. They got MVP votes for God's sake.
Yeah.
A lot of guys were good in 19.
Yeah, but how could he be this rotten?
I don't know.
He's terrible.
But he's not playable consistently right now.
No, they should have moved him I would think we found out there was no market. They probably would have moved him.
Yeah.
He might have been the biggest benefit of that juice ball, too. Like Garver, I think, is hitting in Texas. I think he got off to a nice start.
He did get off to a decent start. A
couple home runs, but yeah.
Well, but Kepler has been terrible now. This is year three.
Yeah, I know.
That it's
19 was great, and that was it.
I don't know. Maybe he wishes he'd been a soccer player or tennis player or something like that.
So. Yeah, I'm going to guess he doesn't love the sport of baseball, but he's just fallen off the table.
Yeah, that's what has he got a year? Is this his last year?
He and Polanco got identical contracts.
This year,
basically,
one
right?
more.
Yeah, I think it's, think so.
Yeah, him being terrible doesn't help either.
Hey, how about our Timberwolves?
That was fun. Although that game, I told you the other day, I thought the Tuesday play-in game was one of the most entertaining bad basketball games I'd ever seen in my life.
Yep.
There was 54 fouls called, and it was a mess, but it was an entertaining mess because the stakes were so high. Yesterday, Saturday, they didn't play that good. They turned it over a lot.
The second quarter, they were a turnover machine.
Turned it over a lot. They kept Memphis in the game, but you know they were the best team on the floor pretty easily, mm-hmm. didn't you think? Most of the game, and mm-hmm. a cat came back, and he was good. Mm-hmm. Everybody who theorized...
That's because you're Cat's top fan now.
Well, I'm not his top fan now, but I'm not ready to dismiss him as a soft
I think you got his back. I think you got his back now.
For that game, I did. I mean, because, you know, as I pointed out, Kansas City ready to get rid of Patrick Mahomes? They going to get rid of him because he stunk in the second half? He can't. That's 2 years in a row. He can't play in a big game. Let's get rid of him. He's soft. Patrick Mahomes is soft. Let's get rid of him. You know, that's where would you be without him, you morons? He had a lousy game, and he let lets the officials drive him crazy more at home than on the road.
I think you're right.
Because he got the crowd there.
And they get jacked up, and then
He can go like this.
Which I absolutely abhor that.
Yes. He wasn't, and he was better in that area.
I think you're right.
Memphis.
I think you're right. You know, ref, you suck, and then he's like trying to get the crowd, and you're right.
Yeah. He's, they were the better team that game. And with Russell going one for his first 10, too, he made one big shot. But
yeah, he was awful for them. Two of 11 from the field.
Yeah, and that's him. I mean, but let's face it, he chose a good time to be good mm-hmm. last week. Otherwise, they lose. Right. Otherwise, they lose.
And Ant, again, man, this kid's fun to watch, I think.
And that game Tuesday night, is one of the biggest games in franchise history because it now gives you at least a couple more weeks to be interested.
Yep.
Whereas if they'd had to wait and play on Friday and win, they would have went to Phoenix last night or yesterday and got their ass kicked by 20 points and they'd be done in four games.
Mm-hmm.
So, or if they, you know, like 2018, they might miraculously win one, but I don't think so. But now you have hope to, and if you win, somehow against Memphis, if you win, which, you know, just outplay them, you get to play Golden State, right?
Yes.
Or Denver. So,
because
they don't change their brackets. So, you can compete against them too, right? So, that was a huge game last Tuesday because of the, and I couldn't have, after three quarters, I couldn't have given them less of a chance that they were, when, you know, he fouls out, they're 7 points down.
And they got better.
Although the Clippers didn't make any shots. That helps when the other
team. Sure.
I say this all the time. Hockey, goaltending, that's the X factor. Baseball, obviously, pitching, used to be starting pitching. Now I don't know what the hell it is. And football, turnovers, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can turn it over five times and get beat when you should win.
Yes.
Basketball, simplest thing of all, making shots.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not making, you know, the reason they won that game is the Clippers went 7 minutes without a field goal at the end of the first half when they could have been up 15 at halftime.
Yes.
And they just, it wasn't that they were being defense that tough. They just didn't make shots, and that bailed them out. But yeah, it was, I thought Memphis was a better defensive team. They aren't. There was plenty of room for Cat, and there was plenty of room to operate. They tried to outscore you just like the Timberwolves do. So,
but they can't hit threes.
Obviously, you know what was amazing to me? Boy, that crowd quit on them in a hurry, didn't they?
And yeah, then they cleared out.
There was no noise. Once they fell behind by four or five, I wonder. I wonder if what the deal is. They were not. Everybody said, "Oh, they're fired up. They're crazy."
I wonder if the fan base doesn't believe in them because I mean they had a really good season, but there's not like a bunch of playoff success.
No,
in
last
their past.
Year what they won the opener against Utah and then got blown out in the next four. But Morant's a very interesting player. He's a great offensive player, but he can't shoot. He's not a.
That's what Phil was saying.
He's not a three-point shooter. He's a get in the
get to the basket.
And Finch's quote last week was he operates in the middle of your defense,
mm-hmm.
and he's great doing that. But he had a one. Didn't he have a stretch that he went 1-for-11 or something? He made a few shots early, and then he started bricking it.
So, and if they can't hit threes, they're in huge trouble because the Wolves can definitely hit threes.
Yeah, they can. And Beasley had a good game. That helped that he came off the bench and gave him a good game. So, yeah, there's hope. They'll probably be playing a seventh game in Memphis in a couple of weeks, don't you think?
Yeah, I could. Yes.
They'll probably lose Tuesday. They can come home and, you know, the sport where home stadium still counts as in foot basketball. I don't think it makes any difference in hockey anymore. I don't think it makes any difference in football anymore, and it doesn't never made a big difference in baseball. And somehow in the Metrodome it did, but I think that in basketball that the home arena still matters because they're right on top of you,
mm-hmm.
and they can influence the officials and all
and that,
that
place
stuff.
Gets loud.
Yeah. Okay, what's your theory on what kind of instructions the referees have been given? 54 fouls on Tuesday,
yep.
56 fouls on Saturday. They're calling everything. I haven't looked at the other box scores to see how the fouls are being called, but I get the impression that the league office wants it to be refereed tight in the first round because in the past, they let them kill each other, and to keep it from getting out of hand as this marathon goes on and on and on. I don't know, but that's way too many fouls.
The miracle was that Cat didn't get called for his first foul in game one until like 3 minutes were left in the third quarter.
Yes.
That was the miracle of the whole thing. All those fouls called.
Everybody wants him. If he was down there a foot from the basket like Charles wanted, he wouldn't have played 2.5 quarters without a foul, I guarantee you.
Yeah, that's a that stuff with Charles and Shaq is Charles. Such a, it's such an old school mentality,
yes,
though.
Because he's not better than you down there. He's better than you out. You know, he's better than you out on the wing, and
yeah,
you got to post him up some. But and they do,
but he shouldn't come down the floor and automatically
they
post
want him
up.
They want him to run down and play where Kareem used to play.
Right, which I don't agree with.
No. Anyway, hey, it's now I got to ask you about your hockey team.
Yeah, we got some problems.
How come we're giving up so many goals? What's going on? Why are the fellas so loosey-goosey?
I think in hockey parlance, the word is we are being a little leaky right now.
Yes.
The second period in St. Louis on Saturday and then against the Sharks last night, they were awful.
Well, the Sharks are terrible.
Right, but the Wild in the second period of both of those games was just awful.
Because of what?
Well,
they just know we are not paying attention to our duties.
Yes, exactly. We're not playing Wild hockey, and we're not paying attention to our principles that have made us so successful. But they've got to stop that crap because the Blues are really good. The Blues are playing great right now.
You see what they did to Nashville last night?
Yeah, they had 7 second period goals.
And Nashville was... You looked at that one and said, okay, the Blues just went ahead of them, but they get to play the Sharks at home, and these guys got to go to Nashville, which is fighting for its life.
Yes.
And they go and beat them 8-3.
Yes.
They're playing really good. So that's going to be a fun series, though, that first rounder.
It will be, but the Wild, they're special teams too, Pat. They've on the power play, they've been awful. And I think their penalty killing is the worst in the league since the All-Star break.
That's where the goals are coming from?
That's where the goals are coming from. So you can't have, if you have that.
Nah, you can't win in the playoffs.
They'll be done in 5 games.
You can't win in the playoffs if that's the case. Is their goalie any good?
Yes.
Who is it now?
Well,
they always change.
They've got two guys. So they've got Huso, who has been playing great throughout the course of the year.
Never heard of him.
He's fairly young, I think.
He could be a forger of documents.
Yes, he could be.
He's a tax guy.
Never heard of him.
And Binnington's had a very up and down year, but he's been good of late.
Do we alternate him or what do we do?
No. I think Huso is going to be the guy. And I'm curious to see what Dino does.
Is he a draft choice or something?
I'd have to look. Yeah. But
sounds like a Czech or some damn thing. Sounds like he's a European.
But my question is, what is Dino going to do in the playoffs? Is he going to try and rotate these guys? Is he going to pick Fleury? Is he going to... That's the one
I'm going to rotate.
My gut tells me Fleury. Fleury starts game one. If they win game one, I think he'll ride them.
Okay, guys, silence right now. Miguel up with two on. Miguel.
I think he got under it.
Oh. What'd he do?
Oh.
What'd he do?
Off the monster?
Nope.
Oh.
Barely onto the warning track.
Nice high five.
Under it.
All the way to the fence. Of course, the fence is 315 yards away.
Huso is from Finland, to answer your question.
Mm-hmm.
And he was drafted 94th overall in 2014 by the St. Louis Blues.
Mm-hmm. Well, nice choice. That'll be a great series, though. It'll be.
Pat approved. Ville Huso.
I never heard of him, but that's.
That's okay.
That's good.
There's a lot of hockey players you haven't heard of.
That is true. It's hard to keep track because you know why? It's easy and. Basketball, there's only 7-8 guys. Hockey,
that's true.
There's too damn many players.
It's like baseball now.
Yeah.
Too much.
I like my favorite hockey team? Warroad, 1969. 6 forwards, 3 defensemen. That's all. You only had to get a goalie.
And they'd come down here and play those kids.
You only had to keep track of 10 guys. You don't have to keep track of 22, 23, you know.
Ice time. Very high.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Henry and Hankslaben. Now, you rush the puck one time and let Allen get a little break here, and then the next time he'll rush the puck and you get a little, you kind of come up here
slower. When did the Marvins start to infiltrate world hockey?
Oh, well, Father Cal came back from the war.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some form of hockey up there, but Cal went and it was a bunch of Warroad guys who came back from the war that started the North Dakota hockey program. They all went to North Dakota and started the hockey program. And then they built it was right then after the war, I believe, that they built the big old arena down there that existed until what, 10 years ago?
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, something
until the
like
Ralph
it.
Opened.
The vet. I never was in the old place. I was in the.
I heard the old place was nuts.
Oh, I bet it was.
I never saw a game there, but I heard.
Yeah,
it was
but
crazy.
Cal had. You know, they became a hockey psychos in the late 40s after these guys got back from the war and they started it what did we do here?
Twins just scored another run. Was it 5-2?
I think they're waving them back to their bases.
Oh, are they? Okay. Yeah. Yep, they are. You're right.
We don't know what that foul tick. Foul tick, I think. Foul tick.
So the anyway. So the 40s, they started the North Dakota program?
Late 40s, yeah, they started the North Dakota program. Interesting. Bunch of guys from there. But Cal was the... Now, Cal's not a Windows Marvin. Cal was a resort Marvin.
Yeah, you told me that.
Yeah, they're two different branches.
I did not realize that.
Two different branches of the family. Yeah, two different branches of the family. But... it's going to be a if the Wolves get through this this first series, it'll be the first time in 2004 when they did something did the Wild, that was when they took their step back and didn't make the playoffs in 2004, or did they? When the Wolves
No, I think they missed the playoffs.
The Wolves missed the playoffs.
No, the Wild did.
The Wild, so Wild, yeah. The Wolves had to run. The Wild missed the playoffs. So Randball says this is only the third time they've both been in the playoffs. Although, that's easy to see because the Wild, the Wolves haven't been in the playoffs. This is the second time since 2004.
And 2004 is the only year that they won series, right? Because they beat Denver and Sacramento.
Yeah, that was the only
because they made it from 97 to 2003, but got bounced.
Never got out of the first round.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, never got out of the first round. Some of those were
truly remarkable.
Some of those were best of five.
Yes.
Weren't they? I think most of them were best of five, right?
Yeah, I think the first one ever in 97, if I'm not mistaken, was Houston. And then they mixed in Seattle. They played the Supersonics at one point, and I think those were all five games.
Worst thing that ever happened to sports. Not the worst thing. But first round series, seven games, and it started in hockey.
Yes,
because they wanted the gates.
Yes, they did.
They wanted the gates.
I remember the
best of five. Should be best of five.
In fact... If I'm not mistaken, Pat, MLB and NHL first rounds or NLCSs
were best switched of five around until 85.
Switched around the same time. And I think hockey went a few years after that to a seven.
Toronto had those great teams, and they never made the they kept getting beaten in the ALCS.
Yep.
And had it been the previous year, Kansas City would have never got. They were ahead of Kansas City 3-1 in 85, and then the Royals came back and won the last three. So that's the year they switched. I think baseball, with the added playoff rounds, should have everything three out of five until they get the World Series and make the World Series different, right?
It looks like to me, Pat.
But not that they're going to do that.
It looks like to me that the Wolves did not, in every first round playoff series that they got bounced, it was a best three of five. Rockets, Sonics, Spurs beat them 3-4 in 99. 2000, they lost 3-4 to the Trailblazers. 2001, they lost 3-4 to the Spurs. They got swept in 2002 by the Mavericks. 2003 was the first
year that we had
the Lakers bounced them in four.
Four, yeah.
In the first round.
So, they didn't win a game?
They won two games against the Lakers.
Bounced them
in 2003. Right, but I'm saying that's the first time that a first round, but they played a first round, that was best 4-7.
That was, did we feel like there, what, so that was 2002?
Three. And that was the year that the Wild was playing at the same time. And I seem to recall there was excitement about that series from the Wolves standpoint.
At some point, I remember Anthony Peeler beat him one game. Anthony Peeler had a great game somehow in that, I think.
I seem to recall the playoffs started, I think we were in Vancouver by then. I think it was the second round for the Wild.
Yeah, and probably.
I remember watching Wolves games in Vancouver.
That was Barrero was the other columnist then, and we took. I said, "Okay, I'll take the hockey." I mean, I said, "You take the Wolves, I'll take the hockey," and then you know we'll see what happens after a couple of rounds. And 41 days later, our boys got eliminated, yep. Right? It was over a month. It was well over a month.
Yeah, because right? I remember Dan was at the X. You both did columns off mm-hmm. the game one of the Ducks.
No, a game.
Yeah, the 1-0 game.
The 1-0 game when Glenn was the sports editor, and Glenn came to me after the second period. It was a 1 o'clock in the afternoon start.
I was sitting
1 o'clock. Glenn, what are you going to write? I need a bleeping goal, Glenn. I at least
they haven't scored. Your exact words were, they haven't scored an effing goal.
Yeah, I need a hit.
You
I
were.
Need a hit. Meanwhile, Chip was writing the gamers, and he's hacking away. What the hell are you writing, Chip? Nothing's happened.
Glenn had no appreciation for the fact that you were at your wit's end with this hockey team, which wouldn't lose.
Hey, what was the how late into the overtime did Anaheim beat him? Did it take it took a few minutes, right?
Yeah, it did.
12, 13 minutes.
And that's the game, if I'm not mistaken. Didn't Gabrick have a – didn't Jiggy make an unbelievable save on Gabrick? The puck was on the goal line, and I seem to recall that the guy with more pads on –
I thought we had some chances to win. Yeah. Well, you used to come down the ice on a breakaway, and his pads would get bigger. He had one of those – air things that you could pump them up.
It was unbelievable.
Remember, we were not happy. The other day, when Tommy, I think I mentioned this, but when Tommy McCarthy died,
yeah,
we had a photo of him scoring against Hartford, right?
Yes.
And now the goalie was off to the side, but this looking at the pads on that goalie. In the early 80s.
Oh, it's incredible.
It's amazing. How do they let them get away with this? Why don't they have a real rule?
They do now.
But not...
They changed it now where it's a little bit more...
Well, one thing is they're all bigger, too, most of them.
And Jaguar's pad, I mean, that's one of the most unbelievable...
Yes.
He was like the Michelin man.
Yes, he was. There's nowhere to shoot. Nowhere to shoot the ball.
That was such a bad game, though. 1-0. That was the... Peter Sikora, 8:06 of the second OT.
Really? Wow.
Adam Oates with the second assist. Second OT.
That was... that our boys were out of pizzazz by then, though, because they had put so much in it. Coming back from 3-1 twice against teams that are better than you can't be easy, right? Way more talented teams.
Colorado and
Vancouver was way more talented teams than you, and somehow you've beaten them. You can't have a hell of a lot left, right? Plus, there's no sport. Because if you get in overtime, it's like playing two games, because it could go on for days. Mm-hmm. Go on for days. Mm-hmm. And there's no sport where, having been in those locker rooms in the spring on that series there, and the amount of perspiration that hung in the air and stuff, and you got these guys are dying.
Poor Walsy was hanging by a thread by the end of that thing.
What we're forgetting is it's not like playing a 40 minutes in a basketball game with your underwear on. It's like you got all this crap you got to haul around with you, right?
Yes.
And the arenas have a tendency to be about 92 degrees in the spring, too.
That might be the most overachieving playoff run in the history of sports in the state.
Yes, probably. 87 Twins were the first ever team to win a World Series after being outscored, but... They were good.
Right. I was going to say they
good.
Were, yes.
They were good. That was and they played against, at a level against Detroit that was at their zenith.
Incredibly high, yes.
Yeah. That was a good team. This was not a good team. This was
Jacques.
This was a plucky team. Yeah.
They were so well coached.
Mm-hmm.
Bore you to death, but they were well coached.
Did he, somewhere in one of those series, didn't Marianne get? He didn't get benched, but didn't he get moved down to the fourth line?
I think there was a game where he might have been benched in the game.
Yeah.
Jacques would pull his string in a second. In a second.
You know, Marianne would have liked Dean Evason hockey back when he was 18 and 19.
Yes.
Because
he would have.
He was made to go up and down the ice and make plays, right? And outskate people and do things like
that. Yeah, he would. There were times where he didn't feel it absolutely necessary to go back into his own zone for an extended period of time.
Turkey of the year one year.
Really?
Yeah. Well, one of the years he played 30 games or something.
Did he find out?
I don't know.
I wonder if he was...
He was in a, probably...
I wonder if he found out.
Probably
wasn't. I
wonder
if he cared.
Probably wasn't an ardent reader of the local newspaper.
Was that just injury related, Pat, or was it because that contract hold out too? Because he held out, right?
I don't know. His injuries always seemed minor.
His hip.
You know, he didn't break anything.
Is his groin or his hip that he always at the groin?
You know what? Yeah. A guy missing that much time, I want to see a cast. I want to see a cast.
Speaking of
what?
Buxton, 7 games.
God almighty.
I saw your tweet about your Iron Man going down and wrote a Saturday and Sunday column.
Phenomenal.
What?
You tweeted.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You tweeted, I'm an Iron Man.
I tweeted that I played a doubleheader on Friday. He gets slides in and gets up and got an owie and is not going to play for a month. I went down and wrote 2 columns, 6 hours. It was hard.
Age difference there, too.
That's right.
Between
age
you and
difference,
Buck.
Yes. Physical fitness. I'll give him the advantage in physical fitness.
That's small, but yeah, I agree. You
know. Oh, man. I think they got at least one more run or 2 more runs.
Yeah, we're pouring
7-2. We're pouring it on.
So, yeah. Right. So he's out now. What? He's not going to be IL'd right now.
They said he might play in Kansas City, but then we're going to get to Kansas City. It's going to be cold.
Rocco's going to
play. And we're going to say, too many night games.
Yeah.
It was only a day game. We could play him, but we got too many night games.
Rocco won't play him.
He is not playing on this road trip, God's sake. What we have to remember is the 2 times he went on the DL, the two times he went on the DL for a decent strength last year, he was missing for the maximum of time. Both times. I was in St. Paul for his comeback game. He hit a triple. He ran it out standing up. He hit a triple. He had like 3 hits. Then he can't play again. He was running too fast. He got injured running too fast.
I remember. Yeah.
Then he must have missed another 2 weeks after that, right?
Yeah.
At least.
And then he had another rehab stint to come back from the rehab stint,
yes,
which he got hurt.
Yeah.
I remember it well, yes.
I don't know.
You were at your wit's end, is how I would put it.
I am with him. I meant what I was not watching the game because I was in the office grinding, unlike him.
Yep. Availability is the key.
And I looked at the box score and said, okay, wanted bad. I bet he didn't leave for strategic reasons here.
Yeah.
Of course, Then I looked at Twitter and we were aflame, but I don't know. I think have been more cynical than me on this, which is hard to believe. But have we ever been more gullible about a guy in our lives that, yes, okay, he's got the new deal. You're going to have to drag him off the field. You're going to have to come out there and, you know, put him in a straitjacket and carry him off the field. He's going to be fighting so hard to stay in the lineup. He slides into a base. He gets up, walks off. He doesn't even tell anybody he's leaving.
Well, he slammed his fist first, and then he walked off. He's never going to stay healthy.
Yeah, there's no reason to think he will.
I mean, what? Yeah, what's the precedent?
You know, he does. He will never. Between him and Rocco, they will never go on the Ricey theory of baseball, which is, are you good enough to play?
Right.
Can you play?
Right.
I don't care. I'm not putting 85%. You're 85%? Okay. Are you good enough to play?
Right.
Do you think if your life depended on it, could you play today? Yes. Okay. Get out there. That's my only.
Are you
criteria.
Injured or are you sore?
Yes. Right.
Because
that's
being
true.
Sore does not qualify you not to play.
162 games. You're not 100%.
No.
You are never be 100%. Once you get to April 15th, you will never be 100%. You cannot throw that out there. I don't know. It was amazing. He was the only guy that had getting a hit. He had, what, 3 straight home runs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
But then they said it's not that bad. So if it's not that bad, why
is he not playing?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
And if it's a sore knee, that's not a hamstring. Like, if your knee's sore, your knee's going to remain sore. That's the other thing.
I would think there's probably no chance that when Rocco's done, we're going to get a Gene Mock, crusty old SOB as manager that says, just write your name in the lineup and doesn't ask you. You know, if you want out of the lineup, you have to come and tell me.
Yes.
The trainer. I'm not even meeting with the trainer unless I want him. I don't want the trainer to come in every day and give me a list of 7 guys who can't play.
Right.
You know, Gardy got into that too late. There was a couple of years where I remember once writing that you got to get permission slips. You know, you got to get permission slips from the players to play them some days. So those were some of those bad teams you got to play.
Right.
You know, if you're okay, you got to play.
Well, and like you said, it's baseball. You play 162. You're going to be sore a lot.
Yes. Twins, 8-2. The machine has been unraveled, and who's ever pitching for the Red Sox is...
Well, Rich Hill started.
I know, but who's ever pitching now is bouncing more than he's getting to the home.
What's going on with pitching, too? My God.
There's too many of them. It's going to be really interesting next week or 2 weeks when they only have...
you know, I can't wait.
Only have 13 of them.
I can't wait till these guys actually have to make decisions.
Yes, I can't either. Yeah, it's... Now... Reavers, very upset, got a nasty text from him yesterday that Thielbar came in. He said, 2 straight rockets, and he kept them in the game. Well, he got to keep them in the game for the next hitter.
Right.
You know,
tell Chris there's a rule now.
There's a rule now. You know, unless the guy wants to feign an injury, that's going to be a big problem, among many other problems with this team. The fact that the only 2 left-handers they have in the bullpen are 2 old, 2 wily veterans who've not equipped to pitch 5 times a week each, are they? So
no, hell no.
They need another lefty for the bullpen.
Riders will be missed.
Yes. So anyhow, looks like the boys might end up getting a split in Boston, and they can. So just think how many runs they'd have today if it was a night game.
Oh, God. 16. Minimum 16.
What else we got going? I hate to mention this, but my God, John Anderson's Gopher baseball is horrible again.
What's happening?
1-8.
What's going on?
Last year they thought they were going to be good. And
I know.
Their pitching was horrible. They won, 6-31?
But they're not declining. This is 2 years of being terrible.
Yeah, they're terrible this year. Then they brought in, I think they had 6 transfers, 5 of them were pitchers, and they brought in 5 freshmen or something. They had like 10 new pitchers, and they got one guy who can pitch on Friday who gives them a half a chance, and they're just brutal.
But I mean, is this recruiting issues that they're not?
Well, it must be. I don't know what the...
But the talents, because...
It was only...
3 years ago, they were really good, right?
No, what was it, 2018 that they... When did they make the...
Yeah, it was like 18.
When did they make their first ever super regional?
It was like 18, yeah.
That team could catch. That was Patrick Fredrickson was the freshman of the year, and he ended up being terrible after that. And, I don't know. I got to think that I know John didn't want to leave it like it was after last year and definitely wanted to come back. But, oof, I don't know. Because, you know, the rest of the Big Ten – not the rest of it, but a lot of it takes baseball more seriously than they used to. A lot of the times when they were winning, the rest of them just kind of didn't have new ballparks and stuff like that. So, but woof, he's got eye problem too. He got some kind of a cataract surgery or some kind of a surgery. I think, you know, kind of an eye surgery.
Who's in line to replace him eventually?
Nobody on this staff, I don't think. Have to go somewhere else. I thought maybe Brian Robbie would have a chance. He's over at Bethel, you know.
Yeah.
And he's done okay. He hasn't been done great.
I used to watch him play for the Gophers.
Bethel. But I like him because I saw him play a game in Florida. I went over to that field when they were in Fort Myers because these teams had come down. Mm-hmm. And they played some team from somewhere, you know, and they beat them, but they kind of played lousy. And he called them all together out by second base and chewed their arses out. And some freshman who was a hotshot freshman screwed up like twice, and he reamed him out, just let him have it right in the middle of the club. And
good for him.
I see a little of that. He's got a he's not a mean guy.
He's so he's
a,
no Rocco is what you're saying.
He's not a mean guy.
He doesn't say, does it hurt? Does your tummy hurt?
No.
I'd like to sit you out today if your tummy
talks,
hurts.
He talks bluntly to the fellas. So,
good for him.
Yes, he would. I think maybe would have a shot. I don't know. His kid's playing minor league ball. I'm not sure where he is this year. He was a good hitter over there, you know. So anyway.
All righty.
All right. Hey, it'll be a fun week. How about that Saturday night playoff game here?
That's only a 9 o'clock start.
9:15 probably.
The only problem with Minnesota being in the playoffs in basketball or hockey is we get treated like we're West Coast.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, it is. Especially in...
So it's either too early to start, 6:30 on Thursday. No 7 o'clocks anymore.
I would, you know, if you pick up the Sunday Star Tribune... I wouldn't expect to read a whole lot about
this
that.
This game
Wolves
had not
game.
Tipped off yet when this edition of the Star Tribune went to press.
Yeah. Yeah. It was 6-4 when this when this edition of the Star Tribune.
And Edwards got off to a great start on a 6-0 run.
Man, he's been something.
He's fun.
He's been something the last two. He had a month when he had a month when he was out of pizzazz, but you know, he's starts right off, bang, three-pointer. It's he's something. He's a man. He's built for the long haul too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. He's
he's
chiseled,
big barrel-chested guy.
Yep.
All right.
Talk to it.
If you have questions about your retirement savings, do what I did and work with a person that knows what the heck is going on. Work with Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. My guy Josh will give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Learn how you can benefit from Josh's focused approach by setting up your own no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation to review your investments. Call Josh now, 952-925-5608.